When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table, but the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup, dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness, you foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint and rue and all other kinds of garden herbs, but neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it." And one of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." And Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute.' Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. And woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering." And when Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. This is the word of the Lord. Ever been to a really awkward dinner party? Do you ever have a gathering in your home or someone else's home where decorum is out the window, where a conversation unfolds in place ways that are just grating and people don't speak in the kind of respectful tones that are necessary? They maybe even attack or make passive-aggressive comments toward either the host or the guest that are present, and you're just waiting for the evening to end. I assume that many of us, if we were to have Jesus come to our home, would not anticipate that this is the kind of thing that would unfold if he shows up into our midst. We would have Jesus over, and he would be so polite. He would comment on the meal itself. He would maybe say some positive things about who we are and what we're doing. He would be very respectful towards the guests, certainly, and he would want to follow the decorum and the rituals that unfold with an ordinary dinner gathering. And yet, no, this is not the way this evening unfolds. There's many moments like this in the Gospel of Luke where it actually shatters our preconceived notions of what Jesus is like and what he's about. To reduce Jesus to simply nice guy is to really miss the point on a lot of things. However, good guy is always fair, always accurate. And Jesus has an intention here to unfold it. Felt like a very old preacher just reading the text. Woe to you! Words that we're not used to, which we kind of need to get our heads around this morning. And it's hard to overestimate the number of times Jesus is in violation of social customs throughout this entire gathering. It unfolds with an invitation from a Pharisee to come to his house. Odds are Jesus knew this Pharisee's intention from the beginning. He knew that this was just simply a way in which he was going to be tested. Invitation is given for Jesus to accept if Jesus shows up. And the Pharisees that are gathered have a conversation with Jesus. It could either unfold well or poorly. But odds are that the person who made the invitation was not someone who invited him for just a nice evening. They kind of wanted to feel Jesus out. They kind of wanted to get a sense of who he might be and what he might say. And Jesus, much like William Wallace in Braveheart, when William Wallace, the movie, I should say, is asked why he's walking out to meet the enemy armies. He goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm going to pick a fight." Jesus is going to pick a fight here. He walks in and he does not clean up who he is. Doesn't wash his hands. Doesn't prepare himself for the meal and just comes in dirty as all get out and reclines at the table. Now, to be clear, ritual cleansing that unfolds in the Jewish household was not required by the Old Testament law. That kind of washing was relegated only to the contact with unclean substances and particularly death. But the amount of rules and regulations that have cropped up, we'll talk about this with the legal experts, over time, developed these kinds of custom where it was meticulous washing as you came into the house and prepared yourself for a meal. It wasn't just, it no longer was for the purpose of, I don't know, killing germs, but it became a process of looking and appearing to be holy. Jesus comes in, he's probably washed his hands and cleaned up for years, and he doesn't do it this night. He knows what he's doing. He sits down, and they're wondering why. At the beginning of the party, he's making everyone feel awkward. Well, the whole point of this passage is one in which Jesus is going to call out the danger of with the Pharisees, as well as the legal experts of the law. We used to call them scribes. You see them in translations called lawyers. Pharisees and the lawyers here. The Pharisees are focused in tremendously on personal purity. The lawyers are focused tremendously on right interpretation of the law and application in every which way which it might unfold. And the whole point of this story is for Jesus to call out these two groups, to attack their very legitimacy of leaders of the people of Israel, and to say that you can't even in your religious observances miss the forest for the trees completely. And not only be wrong, but actually cause others to stumble and fall as well. That is to say that we can engage in a form of religious observance that actually not only allows but reinforces the ability for a heart to be dark. This text immediately follows Jesus' discussion on the light and darkness. This is no accident. The light inside of us is being blinded for the appearance of holiness on the outside. So let's walk through this one by one with some fun. We talked about it. Jesus set him up. He set up the entire scenario by coming in and picking a fight. He didn't wash his hands, but he has a purpose for this. This isn't just to make people mad. This is also to bring truth and clarity to the situation. And he begins with the first pounce of the Pharisees just being so concerned on the outside, washing the cups and the dishes on the outside and ignoring the inside of greed and wickedness, missing the very nature of which purity is intended to be directed to. That we should not look at purity as how we look on the outside, but the very thing that should be something that flows from within, and in so doing actually does clean the outside. And he does this with a series of woes. So what does Jesus mean when he's saying woes? You're going to see two sets of three woes each. A woe is something that denotes pain or displeasure. A painful circumstance, a displeasing circumstance. Eugene Peterson translates the word hopeless to the person. But a woe is something that you experience, but also a woe is something that comes upon a person. Commentator Green says, this is Jesus saying and describing the coming disaster that would befall the Pharisees and legal experts on account of divine judgment. Woe to them. Their just due is coming because they have missed the point. Unhappy are them. Hopeless are them. This is dangerous words that Jesus is saying. You're actually completely missing it, and it's going to lead to your downfall. So like saying, you are on the path to self-destruction here. To the people who are the most religiously observant people in the group. It's really phenomenal. Well, what's the first woe? The first woe is a woe given to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, this religious group who wanted to appear holy in the midst of Roman occupation, they themselves thought very highly of themselves, and they had meticulous rigor on how their religious observance should operate. They enacted what they believed the Scripture was saying. And the problem is that Jesus says in their tithing, they are focusing down to the herbs that they grow in their garden, a tenth of the mint that comes out of it. Everything that they have, they want to tithe their 10% on. And Jesus is saying, that's a good thing, but you are focused so much on that observance that you miss the point of life in following God as well. The problem is that one can live for God without really loving Him and loving others. They want to do the right things for God. Say, look what I've done for you, rather than doing it because they love God and because they really love someone else. Jesus says you should have practiced the latter, your tithing. That is an outflowing of what it means to love God. But you've neglected justice on behalf of others. Is to say, you've looked the other way when someone is in a rough spot, and you really don't love God with your actions. You're simply doing it to appear holy. You're